You're now listening to Her Story, Women Who Lead, with your host, Sandra Bieber. This is a dynamic and inspiring podcast that really dives into the rich tapestry of women's history, explores critical topics in women's health, and celebrates the profound impact women have on our communities. Stay with us.
So my name is Sandra Bieber. I am the host of Her Story, and I have some incredible panelists here today with us. I have Therese Wright, who is an advocate, a wonderful woman, someone that's always fighting for the good, for being able to advocate for health. And all of her journey as a woman of color, a woman of greatness. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. So welcome, Therese. And I have Nancy Wertheen. Nancy Wertheen, if you know about Nancy, you know that she is with WFMZ. She's a longtime news anchor. The health and wellness segment on the Sunrise Edition. I'm so happy that I remembered that, right? And I've been really grateful and blessed to know you for so many years. Your openness to be able to support women, to help women, just is really inspiring to me personally. And then I have, of course, Ms. Hilda Cruz, and she is not only our board president for Community Action Lehigh Valley, but she is a friend. She is a professional healthcare, advocate. She is somebody that cares. She's a volunteer, dedicated in everything that she does, incredibly diligent. When it comes to keeping our board on track, she does a really great job with it, and I'm just grateful that you're here with us. And of course, we have Doris Marikan, who is just talk about a powerhouse. If you like Pilates, if you like physical anything, she is just a wonderful woman that is going to be able to support our understanding of what physical. For me personally, I don't get in the gym as much as I should, but now I will be. But just a physical presence of what you do. So I'm really looking forward to supporting you and supporting and listening to what you're going to be doing in this panel. So let's take a moment and let's talk about, heart disease is one of those things that we are always tasked with trying to understand as women. We are always trying to take care of others before ourselves, constantly, in every facet that we can think of. We are last on the totem pole. What is changing about women's health, really, from that perspective? And I'll start with Therese. Tell me a little bit about what is changing when it comes to how women advocate for themselves.
Yes, the main thing that's changing is we are beginning to see that we matter. Nothing happens without a woman. We are the cornerstone of our communities. And the one true thing is once you realize that you matter, then everything about you moves differently. So I think just being aware that we have value, that we carry not only our families, but that we carry communities, it just compels us to learn more, to be more active about our lives, to be more participants in our lives, and to advocate for ourselves. We've come a long way, but we can't be complacent. We still have a long way to go. We've made so much progress in heart health, but we haven't arrived yet because there are still so many of us dying. We have to prioritize ourselves. I think I have been in a unique position because I was born with a heart condition. So I've grown with the science, I've grown with the technology, I've grown with the community. I see all of these things. I know how important it is to self-advocate. I know how important it is to be the captain of your own ship if something is off with your body, if something is off with your care. And what my position and what all of our positions are to carry that forward. When you know you teach, when we teach, guess what? You never know where that impact stops. So once we know that we matter, then the way we move in the world is different. And when we know that, we empower someone else. And that's where it keeps going. Impact never, ever stops.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
forgot what the question was, but just because my mind is filled with too many things. But I think what you said was how far women have come. And one thing that I've been really impressed with lately as a society is all the attention being given to menopause. Right? I mean, there's so much being talked about, written. I think for a really long time, we were left to our own devices for perimenopause and menopause and what it does to us and what it's doing to us. So I've been thrilled to see that discussion opening up in so many other places. And speaking of our hearts, you know, one of the things that has been really interesting to me is that what the medical community is saying is that when we're leaning into menopause, when we're in menopause, that is a really dangerous time for our heart health. You know, the decline in estrogen results in some inflammation in our bodies. Maybe our blood pressure goes up. And so this is a time when we need to be watched really closely. And so I'm happy to see that that's happening, and I'm happy to see these discussions. When we, as women, are dismissed, you know, I can't tell you how many times I went to a doctor, I'm having hot flashes. She's, all right, how about a little Prozac? I don't want Prozac. How about a little Xanax, you know? And trying to really make people understand, like, this is what this feels like, and this is an upheaval of my whole life. I don't think we were heard for a really long time, but I feel like the medical community is hearing us now. So that's one thing I've been really impressed with.
Yeah, I appreciate what you both have shared, because what I heard Therese say is, you know, us needing to be an advocate. Mm-hmm. And I'm also hearing, you know, how there's a link between menopause and heart disease, possibly. So what you may not know, or maybe you do, there's also a link between postpartum depression and heart disease. And so, you know, a lot of, if you think about who is suffering from postpartum depression, many are women that community action may serve, right? Women in poverty that are, you know, struggling with many daily stresses, and that can potentially have an impact on their heart health. And so, and these may be women who don't know how to advocate for themselves. And I was just having this conversation with someone earlier, because I am fortunate enough that I have a job that gives me that flexibility, that I can have a better work-life balance and make sure that my mental health is good. Not everyone, especially many of the people that are served by this agency, have that support from their job or their families. And so that's, again, right, those are all risk factors for heart health that we need to be aware of. And I think that is something that, to your question, you know, what is, I think it was, what is changing?
Yes.
I think that needs to change.
Yeah.
I don't think it's changing, in my opinion, but I think that is something that needs to change, where we need to improve the support systems, especially in the workplace, for women, especially if women nowadays, the tables have turned. We are the, you know, many of us are the breadwinners in our household, even if it's a two-income household. So that needs to change.
I love that. Thank you so much.
I do think it is changing little by little. I think day by day as well, conversations like this do open it up.
Yes.
Bigger platforms. I think, again, I really love what they said, honestly. But as far as what else can change, like, it's really about finding balance as well as movement. It has to do with stress management, has to do with being consistent as well, and movement, even going for a walk. Or I always express it's really about moving the not just your body, but your mind, your soul as well. Stress management, finding something to decompress, mindfulness time, meditation, things like that, and then consistency. In my studio, we're really about community and coming together and holding each other accountable and empowering each other. So I think day by day, everything is changing. To me, it is, essentially. But I do hear of the need for more improvement and more change as well.
So let's say you have a client that comes in and is really just trying to focus on their health. What is one way and one success story that you could share with people, maybe to get them in a gym, AKA me? I'm looking at the Pilates program with you. So I'm interested in how that can impact women in from a physical perspective and a mental perspective.
So honestly, what I get a lot is how welcoming we are in the studio. I think a lot of people go to different studios and they may feel judged or not seen or not heard when they go in there. And that's something that we definitely try to change at Move. There's so many success stories, quite honestly. People who come back on a daily basis, people that haven't been to the gym in years and they find Move and they see the community that's there and they're back regulars every single day, and I love it.
Nancy, mindset is really important. I'm a big mindset person, especially when people tell me, oh, that can't be done. I'll show you. No problem. I'll show you that it can be done. So how is mindset really important as we go forward when it comes to our health, when it comes to our mental health, when it comes to our emotional, our spiritual health? You know, you're almost a genius in this field because you've studied it for so many years. And tell us a little bit about your work and how that's really important. Mm-hmm.
So I think that one of the things we have to all remember is that every single beat of our hearts depends on how we live our lives. And that has to do with what we eat and how we sleep and if we exercise, but also what we think and mm-hmm. what we feel. Because our mindset, I think a lot of us think, and I did before I started working in positive psychology, I used to think that at the end of the day, I could kind of take a look at what happened during the day, and I had sort of a mental scale in my head, and it had two different sides, right? Well, this person was a jerk to me, and that didn't go my way, and so I earned my right to be in a really bad mood, and I can take all this home to my family and to my evening. And what positive psychology makes us realize is it's actually the opposite, that we can control our mindset. It's not the other way around. It's not based on those outside circumstances. And so if we can take that knowledge and say to ourselves, so how do I build a mindset that is based on focusing on positive emotions and positive actions? Because those things then will start what we call a ripple, an upward spiral. And we've all heard of the downward spiral, but this is an upward spiral. And mindset, I think it's really about an examination of what our mindset is. Because we get on autopilot and we get going. You know, one of the things, I'm not a doctor, but I've done a lot of research in this area with positive psychology, but also for personal reasons. So in February of 2021, we were coming out of the COVID pandemic, kind of still in it. I'd lost my brother in a horribly tragic way, and I was just stressed. I was beyond stressed. I showed up at the doctor as for just a routine appointment. My blood pressure was 240 over 140. And I had no idea. I was like, I'm fine. I got a lot going on. And they said, well, you need to go to the ER. And this is actually what I said to the guy. I said, you know, I got some things to do. I'll go do those, and I'm going to go home. And I'll go tomorrow. I'll take care of it tomorrow. And they said, no, you're going out on a gurney.
Yeah.
And I was having a heart attack.
Wow.
I had no idea. I got to the ER, and I was having all these indicators of a heart attack. And, they were saying, well, are you feeling this? Are you feeling that? I was like, actually, yeah. But I was so stressed out.
Right.
I was so on autopilot. I so wasn't paying attention to myself because of what we were talking about before. I think you said it, Sandra. We take care of everybody else. And we're worrying about it. I was so worried about my kids in COVID. I was so worried about my parents, losing my brother. I just was gone. I wasn't in my body at all. And so for me, that was an incredible wake-up call. And subsequently, I've done some research, and I was just talking to Abby about this, that women, we're finding, the research is showing that emotional stress shows up in our bodies more than in
Absolutely.
Men's bodies. That there's actually more tightening of our small peripheral arteries. So think about that. We have emotional stress, and our hearts actually change Wow. because of it. So we have to be especially careful, I think, to manage our mindsets, to take a moment, especially when we think about the self-care, and people throw self-care around, it's not massages. No. It's sitting there and saying, what is going on in my mindset?
That's right.
What am I thinking about? How am I approaching my day? Am I looking for gratitude? Am I cultivating hope and joy? Am I instead kind of just languishing and allowing the negativity? We have a natural inclination called the negativity bias, allowing that to take over our mindset. And when we do that, what we look for is what we see, right? You've heard that. You know, we can believe we can or we believe we can't. We're right either way. So mindset is really at the basis of everything. And it's the way that we move through the world. Our relationships and our lives and our success really depends on it.
Wow. That is amazing. Wow. It gives you pause. It gives us pause because just like you said, just, I'll go tomorrow. They're like, you're not going anywhere. Right? And that's the mindset in that we need to have that self. Nope, I need to take that time for me to take care of yourself, to treat yourself. You got to treat yourself. Excellent. Yes.
Can I say something about that? That was incredible, mm-hmm. Nancy.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. I want to share one thing that you just opened my mind up when you shared your heart attack experience. What she said is the truth. We put ourselves last all the time. Things happen in our life that we don't process. And mindset is important, but so is processing your life events. Mm. I know for myself, the last 5 years have been the worst 5 years of my life. In 2020, I lost my mother. 16 months later, I lost my father. Months after that, I was in a hospital, septic, almost lost my life. A year later, I had to go for a third open heart surgery. Mm-hmm. Now, in 2025, I was diagnosed with an aggressive breast cancer. Mm. So I promise you, I'm not sharing this for pity. I'm sharing this to empower you because what we know is life continues to happen. It happens to all of us. And I can take a perspective of woe is me, and trust me, I have my woe is me moments. I give myself permission because you can never heal what you don't feel. Toxic positivity is not a positive mindset. Toxic positivity is not what Nancy is speaking about. Mindset, gratitude, all of these things matter. And knowing that tomorrow is not promised to any of us makes us relate on a whole different level. So I thank you for having that. Thank you for sharing that. It's very empowering. And I just encourage all of you to remember, we all think we have more time until we don't. So make the moment matter. Process your feelings in real time. And a positive mindset will take you far. And you won't feel like that every single day. But if you can find one thing to be happy about, one thing to be grateful for, that inspires hope. And if you can make it into the next moment or into the next day, then guess what? That's a win. Thank you for letting me share that.
Absolutely. 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 That's amazing. Oh, wow. Wow. And I think, you know, I want to give dues here to the American Heart Association that we have been working with to support, you know, health and talking about this conversation. The breadth of it here in the region, Lehigh Valley, we are really fortunate with so many different nonprofits that have a cross-collaborative mindset, which is important. I mean, look across the table here. Look at the collaboration that came. I mean, this event was put up. And everybody was interested, and we got it together. And then people came around the table. I do want to shout out, dude. There are some men in the audience here today too. So they came and they were excited to talk about it because, just like you said, women's health affects all. It affects everybody. I think of all of the different. There's an image of a woman having 8 different hands, right? All of us were caretakers, were nurses, we're you know, emotional support animals at some point, you know. We are the foundation of families, of friendships, of our jobs, of where we are. And I think being able to take that step forward, to have that positive mindset for ourselves, because we may look like we're happy and we're go-lucky all the time, right? But the breakdowns happen, and when the breakdowns happen, they're happening often, we really have to check ourselves in that moment to understand. I want to kick it over to Hilda really quickly. Hilda, you talked about how women are impacted, especially women that are facing poverty. How is this something that as an organization, as people, that we can help support our communities? Because when you talk about choice food, right, people that are eating from food pantries or are from that demographic, they don't have a choice. They eat what's given to them in a certain sense. How can we advocate better, and what do you think we can do there?
Well, first of all, I'm gonna put a shameless plug on, because yes. I used to work for the American Heart Association in Philadelphia, certified health education specialist. So I did a lot of education in the community about, you know, how do you recognize the warning signs of a heart attack, for instance. And so I think it's really important to know how to recognize that, because like we just talked about, right? Many of us women, you know, you just said it, right? You didn't even realize you were having one. It is very different how it presents itself in women than it does in men. And so, you know, as with men, women will experience the chest pain, right? Many of us, if someone tells you, oh, my chest hurts, we're quick to say, oh, you need to go to the emergency room. But many times that can be associated with other symptoms, like the anxiety, the shortness of breath, the all the other symptoms that to us, because we experience those symptoms so often that we may not, you know, if we say, oh, you know, oh, I have anxiety, I'm feeling tired or lightheaded, right? That's every day. So, oh, am I having a heart attack today? So, you know, how many times do I need to show up to the ED? So, you know, again, it's, I'm no doctor, but I think that's a good conversation to have with your PCP to understand, okay, when is it that I should go to the doctor, right? Is it with chest pain, or, so I think that's an important conversation to have. And I think, you know, on that note of like anxiety, stress, right? The folks that you mentioned that are visiting the food pantries, yes, for example, that is something that they are living with, you know, every day. Where am I getting my food next? Because as you know, food pantries aren't open every day. And so that question may pop up for them often. Okay, where am I getting my food next? Mm-hmm. But in addition to just that and all the other worries, again, recognizing those warning signs, because stress is real, stress is a killer. Heart disease is a number one killer for women. And so we have to be able to recognize those signs and be able to do things like Doris had mentioned, right? Mindfulness. Mm-hmm. How do we put ourselves first? Recognizing or identifying who our support systems are. Who do you trust that you can ask for help?
Thank you for that. That's great, Hilda. Doris, I want to kick it off to you for some closing thoughts for all of us here, but tell us some takeaways, some things that we can do today to be able to focus on how we can work together as a team to, you know, help each other as a sisterhood, right? As whether it's your friends or your coworkers or the people in your life, the men in your life. How can we work together as a village?
Oh, coming together. At the studio, some people tend to have accountability partners. I always say you have to hold yourself accountable at the end of the day, but having a support system around you is really important. There's some women who don't come, and men also, who don't come to the studio by themselves ever. Mm-hmm. And then they need that support system around them. Going for a walk is super important. Just 30 minutes outside in the fresh air. Ask your neighbor, your partner, your sister, somebody around you. Being consistent, That helps out a lot, in my opinion, and being consistent with what you are moving your body with, what you're listening to, what you're saying. You said it earlier, it really is, working out is mental health for me. If I don't have my workout for the day, it's tough for me to get through the day. That's my stress is up,
yeah.
But just remembering, and I have the best team support around me. I definitely get asked a couple of times, like, did you take 5 minutes to yourself today? Go in the back, I'll handle this. That's just the awesome support system that I have around me, that everybody should have around them, essentially. And if you don't, go out there, look around, find a friend at the park, meet somebody at the gym, work, school. Just ask for help. Yeah. It's a big thing. I know we don't do that enough, but ask for help.
May I stress that point?
Yeah.
I'll share a personal story. So I am now a mother of three, but when I had my second child, that's when I really, I was not clinically diagnosed with postpartum depression, but I'm pretty darn sure that that's what was going on. And that's when I really had to think about who is my support system. Mm-hmm. Because yes, I have my husband, but you know, our work schedules don't always align. So I felt like a single parent many times. And this was during COVID. So I have to stay at home. I have to be at home with my baby. And I mentioned, you know, maternity leave is not always enough. And so I was also experiencing that, where I had a newborn. I was already returning to work, so I'm working, but I'm at home. Newborn, back to work, at home, and COVID. And so I actually had COVID and did not know it. I thought I had the flu. And, you know, I had to, actually, I'm getting off topic. That did happen. However, what I meant to say was it was a lot of stress having a newborn and trying to fit in work hours. And so all that to say, it was very stressful with a crying baby who I think was colic at the time, that I was scared of, you know, what I was gonna do to her, to myself. And I will be very transparent because I know I'm not the only one who has gone through that. Mm-hmm. But I literally, because I knew that I had to admit that to myself, I did not have the courage to call anyone, but I sent a text message to the closest women in my life. I'm back to get emotional. But those women showed up.
Yeah.
They showed up. They came immediately to my house. They grabbed the baby. And they took care of her, and they said, you go to bed. You go to bed. And they washed the dishes, they cleaned the house, and the baby fell asleep for them. That's always how it happens, right? And but I share that personal story because sometimes we're too prideful. No, yeah. I got this, I can do it, but sometimes we do need to, we need to be true to ourselves and admit and, you know, ask for help, yeah. Because you will be amazed by how people can show up for you.
That's right. Amazing. Oh. 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 Hilda, and I have to say this about Hilda. I know her personally. I know her children. And she is the best mother. The best mother. And that's what it takes. It takes courage to do what you're doing. There's not a dry eye in this in the audience right now, because we're all okay. Yeah. We're so grateful for you. So Nancy, tell us a little bit about some parting thoughts that you think that you could leave with our audience today to leave that impact.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, and I think that the connections we have with other women.
So
are
important.
One of the most important, I mean, it's the most important thing in our lives, you know, many times, and can be. In the field that I, you know, I'm with WFMZ, but I'm also a positive psychology practitioner. So positive psychology, what we stress is trying to be able to celebrate those feelings of connection,
right.
Hope, gratitude, joy. Mm-hmm. Positive psychology is the study of what's strong instead of what's wrong, right? So it's solution-focused instead of problem-focused. Mm-hmm. And when we take a look at our lives, we have to have that recognition that we need our tribe. And as women, finding our tribe and celebrating it and treating it with the sacredness that it has is so important, you know, for our mindset, for our
Absolutely.
Health, for our futures, for our families, because we need to be able to support each other when we need it. So I love that you shared that. And I would like to just say about positive psychology, you know, what is so great about it is that it really helps you to understand how you can personally live your best life. So it's what does that mean to you? And when we look at our lives a lot of times, I think we have to, I don't know if you ever have, Dr. Brené Brown has
a lot of her.
Midlife unraveling, right? We get to that point and we say, what, how did I get here? And who am I now? And who do I want to be? And so taking those moments to take that breath and be calm and reflective and self-aware and focus on things like self-compassion and self-love and self-forgiveness. I remember when I first heard about self-compassion, I thought, why would I do that? It made no sense to me, but it's an incredible aspect, an incredible thing we can give ourselves. So if you're so inclined, just learning about self-compassion and how you can practice that in your life is an amazing tool that you can use for the resilience that you need for the things that are gonna go on. And just real quick, positive psychology is not a happyology. It says life is struggle.
Yes.
But
is.
Here are the tools yes, that is. You can use for the resilience you will need when you get there. And that's what I love so much about it.
I love that.
That's nice.
Thank you so much for that. Therese?
Absolutely. So first, I just want to say I am Teresa Wright Johnson. My husband would like have a fit if I did not use his last name. So it's Teresa Wright Johnson. If I have to leave with final thoughts, two words come to my mind. Grace and intention. And every word that you heard from each of these phenomenal women here, I'm reminded of a quote, and I say this in my life all the time, and it's by the late, great Maya Angelou.
Yes.
And she said, I come as one, but I stand as 10,000.
Mm. Mm.
We stand on the shoulders of someone. We don't make it by ourselves. Support, building communities. Hilda, as you shared, when you go through trying times, you see who's there. Some people are friends in proximity. You see who will show up. And sometimes you have to take that step. You have to be courageous and say, I need help. I don't have this. And you build your support system. But I want to say, be intentional about your time. My story, aside from being chronically ill, professionally, I was a public servant. I'm a retired public servant. And I stopped saying retired public servant because what I realize now is, although I retired from that job, I'm still very much a public servant. This is public service. We all have that. We move forward together. You're stronger together. Find your place, find your purpose, and be intentional about your time. When we come together, women break glass ceilings, right? And I when I look at you all and your expressions and your faces and your smiles and your tears, I'm really moved because I know that we are the movement. And we will continue to be the movement. So I just say, be intentional about your time. Remember that your life matters. What you feel matters. To go back to the Heart Association, the American Heart Association, who I've been with for a very long time, I'm very passionate about this work. If you see something, say something. If you feel something, do something. No one knows your body like you do. Never, ever take it for granted because when this life is done, it's done. This is your vessel. So those are my two words, grace and intention. God bless you all.
Oh, that's good. Definitely.